All right, so we'll start the Mishnah. Again, we'll just review over the Mishnah at the bottom of Mem Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, Hei Mevashel et Hashlamim Shulchan. All right, so when he, after going through the process of the Tahara, so the Nazir brought his Shlamim, his Korban Shlamim, and he cut his hair, and he placed his hair, Tahara Dod, he placed the hair under the fire to cook the Shlamim, and then he took some of the rotiv of the shlamim and placed it on his hair to burn it. And then once the shlamim is cooked, right, either it's cooked mibashel or shulkan we discussed was overcooked, but well done, right, in terms of cooked. Then notelet azura b'shela, then the kohen, in addition to his normal matzanot that come from a shlamim, here with the Nazir, the Shalmei Nazir, he also gets the Zeroah B'Sheila, right? The cooked Zeroah. Then he also takes, because the Karban of the Nazir comes with bread as well, right? Two sets of breads. And that he takes from that, he'll take one of each of those breads, the coin. Chala Matzachat Minasau, or Rakik Matzachat. So he takes one Rakik and one Chala. And so those are all the gifts of the Kohen. Notein al-kapei nazir, he puts them on the hands of Nazir, u'minifan, and they do tnufa, right? There's a requirement of a wave offering. V'achar kach, hutar nazir lishtot yayin litamei l'meitim. After he's done all this, the Nazir can now drink wine and be mitamei l'meitim, and his nazirut is officially over at this point. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kagon shenizrak alav achad min kevin shenizrak alav achad min adamim, hutar nazir lishtot b'yayin. As soon as one of the Karbanot are brought on the Mizbeach, as soon as one of the Damim are brought, then the Nazir is mutar to drink wine or the Tamei L'Meitim and to become Tamei, meaning that he is, Nazirut is officially over at that point. So now the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Achar Yishteh HaNazir Yayin, Achar Masim Kulam, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So this first part of the Mishnah, what we just read, was like Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer says that, when v'achar yishteh ha-nazir yayin, when is the Nazir permitted to drink wine? That's after he's accomplished the whole process. I mean, v'achar yishteh ha-nazir yayin is at the way end of the parsha of the Nazir. And what does it mean, v'achar yishteh ha-nazir yayin? It means after he's finished doing everything he's supposed to do, in terms of bringing in his karbanot and doing his tnufa and all these other things, then he's permitted to drink the wine and be mitamei l'meitim. That concludes his nazirut. Well, chachamim omrim, chachamim here, like Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, achar maseh yechidi, after one action. So why is it that after one action or after one item, the nazir is now cleared, I mean, from his nazirut? It's pretty, Rabbi Elazar is pretty compelling. At the end of the parashat, nazir says, v'achar yishteh nazir yayin, sounds like he's got to go through the whole process before he's entitled to drink wine and be mitamei l'meitin. So that, as Chachamim says, that's what the Gemara says, matayu mayu derabonon. What's the reasoning of the position of the Rabbonon? Ktiv halcha v'achar yishteh nazir yayin. It says by us over here, v'achar yishteh nazir yayin, after he will drink wine. And it also says, ktiv hotam achar hitgalcho, after he has cut his hair. So, in reference to cutting his hair, right, what does he do, or what happens when he cuts his hair? So it says, after he galcho et nazro, mahat machar masa yechidi, after he cuts his hair, is after the one action, right, meaning that, what's the one action that he has to do? The one action is that he is cut his hair. Avkan achar masa yechidi, after one action. So the Chachamim have drawn a gezeira shava between the acher that's found by achar hitgalcho, right, versus to the acher that's found achar yishteh nazir yayin. So just like achar hitgalcho et nazir means literally after the nazir has cut his hair, and that's a single action. So too, when it says achar yishteh de yayin, means after a single action, and not after the complete process. So Gemara says, well, maybe you need both. Meaning that maybe it's not enough. I mean, who says that means simply after the last item or one item? Maybe he needs after that item, but also after he cut his hair. Meaning that how do you know that this acher teaches you just one item? Maybe it means after, you know, two items or three items, because it's after, you're learning it from Hakar Hitzkalcho, which is one item, and then you have Akar Yitzkalcho as a second item. So now you have multiple items that you need to complete. So when I says, well, if that's the case, what do I need the Gzeir Shabba for? I mean, if already you're going to suggest to me that it's after a number of processes, I mean, it's after the process, then the Gzeir Shabba hasn't helped. The whole point of the Gzeir Shabba is to limit what we need here in order to have the Nazir become Tahor. And how is it limited? It's limited by saying that he only needs one thing. And any item or any one thing will free the Nazir to go ahead and drink wine and be mitameh the meitim according to this gezeira shava. So that would be the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. Rabbi Elazar believes that the entire process is ma'akev, in order allowing the nazir to return to his normal ways. Whereas the Chachamim say, as soon as he's begun the process, as soon as he's done one action, one, right, zikas adamim, one korban is brought, whatever it is, that will free him or allow him to return to normal life, and then he must complete the Tahara process, but those aren't ma'akev, him getting back to drinking wine and being the meitim. So now the Gemara says, well, how far does that really go? So Amarav Snufo Benazir Me'akevet. The wave offering, or the wave offering process of the Nazir is ma'akev, right? It holds you back. So Aliba Deman. According to whom is that true? Right. If it's according to Rabbanon, Rabbanon already said that cutting his hair is not ma'akev. All he has to do is get the dam on the mizbeach. He just has to bring one korban and he's already free and clear. What do you mean? Now you're going to tell me that the wave offering holds him up? Doesn't make any sense. Snufa mi boy, you have to tell me about snufa. Ella alibad Rabbi Elazar. Must be according to Rabbi Elazar. Pshita, of course, according to Rabbi Elazar. I'm Rabbi Elazar. Achar masim kulam. That's exactly what Rabbi Elazar demands. Rabbi Elazar demands the complete process. It demands a complete process. What's part of the process? Snufa, wave, the wave offering. So how the tema, what would I have thought? Gavin delinian kapara sheyire mitzvahi. So this is a general principle in snufa in when it comes to other karbanot or other items that require a wave offering. In those instances, what do we say? We say, the Gemara says, well, in other places it sounds like snufa is mechaper. Right? So the Gemara in Yoma says, well, that can't be because we know hadam hu mechaper. The blood is mechaper. So the Gemara in Yoma says, well, based on that, is that snufa is mechaper. Veinu mechaperet. It is mechaper and it's not mechaper. What does that mean, it is mechaper and it's not mechaper? That it is, it's na'asu kishayarei mitzvah. They're made like a leftover of the mitzvah. You know, that they're not ma'akev the kapara. The blood is what is mechaper. But the tnufa is part of the process and it's a part of the mitzvah. If you want to do the mitzvah properly, you'll do the wave offering. But if you don't do the tnufa, in general by a karban, you will not be ma'akev the karban, you won't change the status of the karban, and it will be mechaper, but you'll be missing a part of the mitzvah. You will not have completed the mitzvah properly. So now what would I have thought? That tnufa by a nazir should have the same status as tnufa in other places. Just like tnufa in other places is not ma'akev the kapara, number one. Number two is it's just a shari mitzvah. So it's over here, the tnufa of the nazir should just be a sha'ire mitzvah. It should just be something that you're supposed to do l'chatchila. But if you don't do it, it's not ma'akev. So that's what Rav comes to teach us, that by Rabbi Elazar, even though in general tznufa is not ma'akev, the tznufa by the tznufa by a nazir, right, is ma'akev. So that's how we read the Gemara. Ma'adotei kindlin kapara sha'ir mitzvahi. When it comes to kapara, the tznufa is not ma'akev. Ha'konami lo ta'akev. So too, in the process of being metaher the nazir, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it should not be ma'akev. Kamash malon, that it is ma'akev. The tznufa, even though in general is not a problem when it comes to kapara, the gabei nazir for Rabbi Eliezer, it is a problem. And he must complete the entire process in order for the nazir to return to normal life, to be drinking wine and the meitim. All right, now the Gemara is now going to go through another. Is going to challenge this position. The Gemara has two lishanot in the Gemara, and then the Rishonim themselves have different understandings of what these Lishonot are, and we will read through it. We'll try our best to understand it, although again, from the language itself or from the flow of the Gemara, it's not so simple. So the question's easy. Umi ma'akfa. That's it really is. The tenufa really ma'akish. V'hatanya. We have a brisa. Zot torot ha-nazir. This is the Torah of Nazir. Bein she'esh lo kalpayim. Bein she'en lo kalpayim. And that, when it says zot torot ha-nazir, when the parsha starts out of zot torot ha-nazir, then it does not identify or limit who is included under this Torah Nazir, which implies that whether the Nazir has hands or does not have hands, he still will go through the Tahara process. So that's what it says, Bein Sheyesh Lo Kapayim, Bein Sheein Lo Kapayim. Whether he has kapayim or whether he does not have kapayim. So now the Gemara's assumption at this point is that, what does that brisa mean? That brisa means that when he has hands, right, and when he doesn't have hands, just like when he doesn't have hands, it's not ma'akev, right, that's what the assumption is, so too when he does have hands, it will not be ma'akev. So just like when he doesn't have hands, obviously he can't do tenufa, and that's okay. So too, when he does have hands, even though he should have done it, when he doesn't do it, it will be okay. I mean, that's the parallel that's drawn between these two. Now, Mar says, well, v'ahadatanya, what are you going to do with the rest of this b'raisa? Now, why? What's the question? What are you going to do with the rest of the b'raisa? Now, who, according to who is this b'raisa? Let's start out with that. According to whom is this b'raisa? This b'raisa must be according to Rabbi Eliezer. Why is that? Because according to the Chachamim already learned that something or an item is not ma'akev, from Bakar Yishtayayim. Right? They already have a limud from the Pasuk that teaches you that nothing is ma'akev. As long as you get the blood on the Mizbeach, there's nothing to talk about. So then, this limud of Zot Torat HaNazir, which comes from a different Pasuk, must be Rabbi Eliezer, because Chum don't need a Pasuk to teach you that. So this is Rabbi Eliezer. It sounds like, based on our first reading of the Brisa, that Rabbi Eliezer believes that Tnufa is not ma'akev. And Rav just said that Tnufa is ma'akev according to Rabbi Eliezer. Mar says, well, if Rabbi Eliezer is the author of this brisa, what are you going to do with the next part of this brisa or another brisa? The Tanya Zotrat and Azir Beishayesh Lo Seyar Ben She'en Lo Seyar. Hachanami Lo Ma'akov? Now what are you going to suggest? Now you're going to say Zotrat and Azir, whether he has hair or he doesn't have hair, it suggests what? That when he does, if you read the brisa the same way you read it before, that means when he doesn't have hair, he does not have to shave his head. Right? So too, when he does have hair, that shaving his head is not ma'akev. If shaving his head is not ma'akev, that goes against the position of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer told us explicitly that in order to complete the nazirut, you must cut your hair. So how could Rabbi Eliezer be the author of this position, right, that that shnufa is not ma'akev? If you see the next line in this brisa, or the other brisa that uses the same limud, suggests that also cutting hair is not ma'akev, and that we know for sure Rabbi Eliezer believes is ma'akev. Right? So Mar says, Vatanya, in addition to this, we have a brisa, Nazir mimurat. What about a Nazir who has no hair? A bald Nazir. Right? Beishamai says, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to put a razor on his head. You still have to run a razor over his head. What does it mean? It means that Eino Tzarich, that he doesn't need to do it, means Eino Takana, he can't fix himself, and he's stuck. According to Beit Shammai, since he's now bald and he can't cut his hair with a razor, he's done. He's not able to get out of this in Zirut. He's stuck. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, he runs the razor over his head and everything is fine. V'hainu, the Rabbi Padat. And this is the same position as Rabbi Padat. I'm a Rabbi Padat. Padat says, Beit Shammai, Rabbi Eliezer, Amru Dabar Echad. Beit Shammai in our brace over here that says that you can't fix the problem is the same as Rabbi Eliezer by Mitzora. The Tanya, what's my Rabbi Eliezer? We have Rabbi Eliezer, the Tanya, by Mitzora, in lo boin yad, v'regel, in lo tahara olamit, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. A Mitzora is required at the end of his Mitzaharat process to place blood, right? To place the blood on his thumbs and on his big toes. What happens if he doesn't have thumbs and big toes. So Rabbi Eliezer says he's out of luck. In lo tara olamit, he can't get out of being a mitzvah ever. Right? Rabbi Shimon Omer, yenichenu al makom o v'yatza. You place it on that location, meaning that whatever stubs are left, whatever was there, that's where you place it. And the chachamim omrim yenich al smol v'yatza. Use his left hand. And the bohein, the big thumb, obviously the thumb and the big toe are on your right side. That the Gemara has a limit for. Right? That if yad and regular, or yad yamin and regular yamin. So the chachamim say, if he doesn't have a right thumb or a right big toe, use his left side. But what do you see from this? You see from this that Beit Shammai believes that you can't, that when you have a bald person, you can't fix it at all. Whereas Beis Hillel believes that you can run a razor over his head. And this position of Beit Shammai, that you can't fix it when he's bald, is similar, like Rabbi Pedat says, to the position of Rabbi Eliezer by Mitzorah. Just like by Mitzorah, Rabbi Eliezer says if you're missing the thumb and the big toe, he can't be Mitahir himself. So too, by Nazir, when he's missing his hair, you can't fix up his hair. How does that help us? Or what does that do for us here? Because then, how do we go back and explain this braisa? Right? We said above, we had a braisa that says that snufa is not ma'akev, because we learned what? Just like when he has no hands, right, you can't do snufa, so when he does have hands, it won't be ma'akev. No, so the Gemara says, no, you can't learn it this way, because who's got to be the author of that braisa? That braisa has got to be the author, it's got to be Beis Hillel. Beit Shammai cannot be the author of that braisa above, because what did Beit Shammai say? Beit Shammai says you can never, when he doesn't have hair, right? Ein lo takana. So who is the author of that braisa? Must be that the author of that braisa is Beis Hillel. And what does Beis Hillel need to learn? Beis Hillel needs to learn, just like when you have hair, you run a razor over your head. So too, when you don't have hair, you run a razor over your head. So the braisa, originally we tried to learn from the negative side. When you don't have hair, so too to hair. Or when you don't have hands, so too when you have hands. Meaning that just like when you don't have hands, you don't have to do anything. So too when you have hands, you don't have to do anything. That, my rejection says you can't learn it that way. Because the only people who could be the author of that braisa are Beis Hillel. And according to Beis Hillel, we need to limud the other way. Which is what? When you do have hair, right? Or you do have hands, right? If you do have hair, then you must cut your with a razor. So too, when you don't have hair, you must cut the razor. If you read the braisa of Kapayim that way, then what does it turn out? That just like when you have hands, you do snufa, right? So too, when you don't have hands, right, you have to do snufa, right? You do it with whatever you have, whatever's left. You do the snufa without those hands. So therefore, that's not a proof. Again, whether there's ikuf or ma'akev, according to Rabbi Eliezer, whether snufa is ma'akev. In the end, then we can uphold the position of Rav, that snufa is ma'akev according to Rabbi Eliezer, because that braisa is not Rabbi Eliezer. That braisa is Beis Hillel, right? And that braisa Beis Hillel is not addressing, right, the ikuv aspect of snufa, but rather addressing when, what's the status of someone who does not have hands, or what's the status of someone who does not have hair, and they're put through the same process as someone who does have hair and who does have hands. Right, so that's the first way to, is to come to teach this. That that teach us based on Beis Hillel, that braisa teaches us that what a person does when they don't have hair, or what a person does when they don't have hands, and whether that's ma'akev or not will be determined whether you hold that Rabbi Eliezer l'chachamim has nothing to do. Beis Hillel does not address that issue, right? And that'll be addressed by the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the chachamim. And therefore, we have no proof as to whether tnufa is ma'akev or not ma'akev. And therefore, we'll go back to Rav's statement where he says that tnufa is ma'akev, and that'll be according to Rabbi Eliezer. So that's the first way the Gemara goes. Now, lishnach we know. Now the Gemara introduces another possibility. Amri lo. Amar Rav, right? Rav says tnufa bin nazir mi'akev. Tnufa, the wave offering by a nazir, is ma'akev. Aliba deman. Who's this according to? If it's according to Rabbi Eliezer, that is straightforward. Rabbi Eliezer explicitly said you need to do everything to be tahor. And guess what one of those everythings is snufa. So according to him, we don't need this. According to the Rabbonon, that's who you want to suggest it is? Rabbanan, the Hashi Yish Lomar Tiglachat. Leave it to Rabbanan, Hashi Yish Lomar Tiglachat. I'm ready to run a lock. What's move on me, boy? Why do I need it for the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan said cutting his hair is not even ma'akev. Now you're going to suggest that snufa is ma'akev? So where it says, me bite, snufa me bite, umi malakva. I leave with the Rabbanan. Hashi Yish Lomar Tiglachat. I'm ready to run a lock. What's move on me, boy? And the Gemara says, is it not ma'akev? What do you mean? You're suggesting over here, right, that according to the Chachamim, it's not ma'akev. Bahatanya, we have a brisa, Zot Torata Nazir. This is the Torah of Nazir. Ben sheyesh lo kapayim, uvein she'ein lo kapayim. Whether he has hands or doesn't have hands. So now we're going to learn the brisa the other way. We're going to start out learning the brisa the other way. What does that mean? Just like when he does not have hands, it's ma'akev is kapara, because he can't do the tznufa. So too, when he does have hands, right, it is ma'akev his kapara, if he doesn't do it. So if that's the case, how can you suggest, according to the Chachamim, right, that it's not ma'akev? Here we have a specific brisa that says it is ma'akev. So now the Gemara says, "Ela had the Tanya." If that's the case, if that's the image you're learning, had the Tanya Zotrat Nazir Ben Sheish Lo Seyar Ben Shein Lo Seyar. Right. And then, what are you going to do with this next price? If you learn it the same way, it says what? Just like when he has no hair, right? It's ma'akev. So too, when he has hair, it's ma'akev. If he doesn't cut his hair, we know according to the Chumim explicitly that they say if you don't cut your hair, it's not ma'akev. We know that they said that already sprinkling the psalm is all you need if you don't cut your hair. So if you're suggesting that the Chachamim are the authors of these brisot, and these brisot they're teaching you, the first brisot teaches you that snufa is ma'akev, and the second brisot teaches you that she'ar is ma'akev, how are you going to explain, right, this according to the Chachamim? This can't be the position of the Chachamim, because according to the Chachamim, we know that se'ar is not ma'akev. And just like se'ar is not ma'akev, it should be that tenufa is not ma'akev. So they can't be the authors of this brisa. Hello, what? So now we're going to go, Ba'atanya. Then we have a brisa. Nazir mi murat, a nazir who doesn't have any hair. Be'chame omim in tzarech la'avir taro rosho. Be'chame says you don't have to put a razor on his head. Obetil omim tzarech. So it says you do need to run a razor on his head. Amar Ravina, it's either Ravina or above, or now we have Rav Avina, and then you have to change the gear so above to also be Rav Avina. My tzarech le Beis Hillel, what does it mean that Beis Hillel says you need to run a razor over the head? Tzarech vein lo takana. Tzarech means that he needs to do it, and he can't. If he can't do it, that means what? It's ma'akev. That is ma'akev. Beis Shammai, yesh lo takana, and according to Beis Shammai, he has a takana, he runs the razor over his head. Uplige de Rabbi Padat. And this is going to argue with the position of Rabbi Padat. Rabbi Padat above said Beis Shammai and Rabbi Elazar have the same position. That's what? When you don't have a big toe, when you don't have a thumb, by mitzvah, that's ma'akev. And over here, it would mean that Beis Shammai believes when you don't have hair, it would be ma'akev. But that's not true, right? That's not true of, that's not true of the way we're explaining this brisa now. Why is that not true of the way we're explaining this brisa right now? Because now we're saying, who says it's ma'akev? Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel says you need to run a razor over and there's nothing to cut. So it's ma'akev. But Beis Shammai says it's not ma'akev at all. And that would be against the position of Rabbi Padat. Now, if we go back now, who's going to be the author of these brisot? The author of these brisot will be Beis Shammai. And they'll be the authors of the brisa. And what does Beis Shammai want to know? Beis Shammai wants to know that it's not ma'akev. That cutting the hair is not ma'akev. And this is the reason they brought the brisa. Just like when one cuts his hair, meaning that he has hair, and he needs to run a razor over, right, according to the Chachamim, it's not ma'akev. So too, when he doesn't have hair, it's not ma'akev. And if you read the brisa that way, then so too, when you come to tznufa, it's the same thing. Just like by tznufa, where he has hands, it's not ma'akev. So too, when he doesn't have hands, it won't be ma'akev. And we can't prove anything from that, that tznufa is ma'akev. And that was our question to the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan holds tznufa is not ma'akev. Then we have these brises that show that tznufa is ma'akev. Well, you learned those brises the wrong way. You wanted to suggest, what does it mean the brisa? Your brisa means just like when he doesn't have hands, he can't do tznufa. So too, when he does have hands, he can't do tznufa and it's ma'akev. Right? Those will both be ma'akev. You learned the brisa the wrong way. We need to learn the brisa the other way. Just like when he has hands, snufa is not ma'akev. So too, when he does not have hands, it's not ma'akev. The same thing with Seyar. Just like when he has hair, hair, it's not makif. So too, when he does not have hair, it is not makif. So from these braises, we have no proof as to what, whether it's makif or not makif. And therefore, according to the second Mishnah, the Chachamim will believe that Tnufa is not makif, and Rabbi Eliezer will believe that Tnufa is makif. And that will be the Pashup Shat in their two, our respective positions. Alright? So new Mishnah now. There's a short Mishnah in Gemara here. So Gileach ala Zevach v'nimsa pasul. He cuts his hair, on a Zevach, and he finds that the Zevach is pasul. Now his Tiglachto pisula. He doesn't have a good Tiglachat. If he doesn't have a good Tiglachat, what does he need to do? He needs to wait, right? 7 days or 30 days, depending if, according to the Chachamim, or according to Rabbi Eliezer, when on Yom Malot, if he comes ahead and leaves him, cut his hair on Yom Malot, right, whether he is required to wait an additional 7 days or 30 days, but you have to wait for his hair to grow back to bring the rest of the Karbanot. Uzbachav lo alulo. Obviously, his Karbanot don't work because his Karbanot were psulim. Gileach ala chatat shelo lishma. What happens if he cut his hair on a chatat shelo lishma? So we know in general that all karbanot that are not brought in shma, when it comes to most, when it comes to a ola and a shlamim or anything that can come as an adava, as a voluntary offering, if you do it lo lishma, then the korban is a good karban, but you're not yotze, the chova that you needed to bring it for. So for instance, if someone's required to bring an ola to the mikdash for some whatever reason, for instance, like a nazir, had to bring an ola, and then they do a lo lishma, they don't do it for his name, right? Then, or they do it for lo lishma, they do it even not for his name as a gift, then that ola is a gift, but it doesn't help him out, it's a kosher karban, but it doesn't help him out for discharging his obligation to bring an ola. That is not true by obligatory karbanot, like chatat. A chatat that is brought shelo lishma, is brought without the right intentions, is a pasul karban. It's totally psulah. So here, you lay a chatat, he cut his hair on the chatat, and then the chatat is shelo lishma, he does the chatat for not for the right reasons, then he brings the other, the olah and the shlamim, he brings properly, tiglach to psulah, his tiglacha didn't work, v'zvachav lo alulo, and his karbanot didn't work, because batching up the chatas ruins his ability to cut his hair. He hasn't cut his hair, then what? Then he can't bring his karbanot. The requirement to bring your hair is, first cut your hair, then bring your karbanot. The fact that now your hair is cut and the giluach is not going to work, you have to wait again to do the giluach and bring the residual karbanot. If he brings the olah and the shlamim shlo lishma, and he cut his hair on them, and then he brings his chatas lishma, tiglachto psula. Again, his tiglachat is psula, because he didn't bring his karbanot nazir. He brought a karban that turns out to be in the davak, because he brought it shlo lishma. And therefore, his karbanot don't work here. If his karbanot don't work here, he needs to, again, wait to be able to cut his hair later, and then bring all of his karbanot. Rav Shin Omer, Oto Zevach lo alulo. No, that Zevach doesn't work. Avar Shar Zevachim alu. The one they did shlo lishma, that doesn't work. Not by a katas, but hold on to shlamim. That karban is not a good karban, but nevertheless, it's tiglachas, it is a good tiglachas. Why? Because we're going to see in the Gemara that Rabbi Shimon holds that even if you cut your hair on a karban nidava, it works. So even though it's not on the karbanot chovah of nazir, even if you bring it on a karban nidava, it's sufficient. He cut his hair on all three karbanot, meaning that he just cut his hair stam and brought the three karbanot. As long as one of them is a kosher karban, then his cutting of his hair is kosher, and then he can bring the rest of his karbanot, because that cutting qualified, that tiglachas qualified. If that tiglachas qualified, then he can finish up his karbanot. So Amar Rav Ada Bar Abba Zotomerit Kasavar Rav Shimon Nazir Shigileach HaShalmei Nedava Yatsa. Based on Rav Shimon's position in the Mishnah, we see, what does Rabbi Shimon believe? Rabbi Shimon believes that even when you cut your hair on a voluntary offering, not on the karbanot that belongs to Nazir, that that's valid. Why? Because he said even when you bring your olah shlamim shelo lishma, that's a good tzilachat. What's an olah shlamim shelo lishma? That's the equivalent of a karban nidava. It's the equivalent of a voluntary offering, because it certainly does not discharge your obligation for nazirut. So that's a karban nidava. So how does he know that? My time. Where does he know that? It's Amar Kara. What does the Nazir do with his hair? He must take his hair and put it on the fire under the Zevach HaShlamim. Zevach HaShlamim is a generic term. Zevach HaShlamim. It should have said, Taka Zevach Shilamav, his Shlamim, right, in the possessive form, meaning that why isn't it directed towards the Shlamim that the Nazir is bringing? If it's the Shlamim that the Nazir is bringing, it should say it in the possessive form, Taka Zevach Shilamav, his Shlamim. The fact that it doesn't say in the possessive form, it says in the generic form, Zevach Shlamim, tells you that any Zevach Shlamim will qualify to have his hair cut on it. And based on that, Rabbi Shimon believes that even a carbon d'tava will suffice for cutting one's hair. If that's the case, when you bring the olam shlamim shelo lishma, even though they don't work as your karbanot for the chovat nazir, they still work as karbanot d'tava. They work as karbanot d'tava, then that's enough, according to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's going to agree by achatas that it doesn't work. Why? By achatas, when you do a shelo lishma, you end up with a posel karbon. So then, even Rabbi Shimon agrees, if you have a posel karbon, that's not zevach shlamim. That doesn't qualify. You have to at least have a kosher karbon in order to, right, you need a zevach to be qualified for it to be cut. When there's nothing that's qualified to be a karbon, then you don't have a cutting and you have the same problem as the galakat sula. Alright, we'll stop here and we'll continue with the next Mishnah tomorrow.